Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
I know in the most recent ASRS PAT survey, durability was like the number one unmet need among a lot of retina specialists are surveyed.
Today, Drs. Imami and you join the podcast to discuss the 49th Annual Macular Society meeting, New and Emerging Treatments for Retinal Diseases, in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative supporter.
Hello, I'm Glenn Yu. I'm a professor of ophthalmology at the University of California, Davis, here in Sacramento, California.
And I'm Parisa Imami. I'm an associate professor of ophthalmology, also at the University of California, Davis, here in Sacramento, California.
Welcome back to the next part of our discussion on the 49th Annual Macular Society meeting.
What did you think about some of the new treatments discussed at the meeting?
Oh, yeah. So this year is also a big year for gene therapy. I think we are, you know, it's been a number of years now since we have the first FDA-approved gene therapy for the eye. And we know that there are many that are upcoming, including some of the wet AMD treatments. But one thing I was very intrigued by was a few of the phase one to phase two trials looking at other inherited retinal diseases. So Aaron Nagel, for example, talked about X-linked retinoschisis. This is actually something that Paul Seeding, our past, our more recent National Eye Institute director, previously had studied. And he had actually previously already conducted trials that showed that you can inject an AAV into the eye. And this AAV, which is adeno-associated virus, expresses the retinoschisin gene and then helps the ischias cavity collapse and actually get and treat these patients with X-linked retinoschisis. But the main problem was that they had a lot of ocular inflammation. And it seems like in general, intravitreal gene therapy is potentially associated with higher rates of inflammation. So Aaron Nagel's talk was, and he's actually one of our, congratulations to him, he's one of our Young Investigator Award winner at the Macular Society this year. He talked a little bit about a new gene therapy that's given subretinally using Shannon Boy's new AAV vector that allows it to spread away from the injection site. And so they were able to show that there was also some patients' early data showing that those patients have these collapsed ischias cavities and potentially better visual outcomes. So I'm very looking forward to what comes out of that program.
Yeah, this is exciting because we don't have any treatment option for a lot of these children with retinoschisis. A lot of the inherited retinal disease, and we only have one FDA-approved option for inherited retinal disease so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think it'll be. I'm glad to see they're going the subretinal route because it can potentially avoid inflammation. But I do worry about retina specialist comfort with doing subretinal injections in a young child with retinoschisis. Like, have you done like subretinal injections before? What are your feelings about it?
I have not done one myself. I have watched the videos. Obviously, it makes you nervous to do subretinal injection, like manipulate that precious real estate in a kid. But if I see the data that would improve their outcome, I would definitely offer that to the patients.
Okay. Well, I guess the last, I feel like one of the biggest topics at the Macular Society was the SOL-1 symposium. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Friday lunch. There was actually a special symposium that the organizers took where the recently released results of the SOL-1 study was announced. And I know that the press release came out a little earlier, and there was a lot of controversy about the interpretation. Do you want to tell me more about what you've heard about this?
So this study was conducted by Ocular Therapeutics. They were trying this new kid on the block, this new medication, this new hydrogel, longer acting intravitreal hydrogel, OTX, tyrosine kinase inhibitor. So the whole idea was to give the patient one injection of this hydrogel and pretty much follow the patients for 52 weeks and see what happens, how many of these patients need rescue treatments and how will they do from visual function standpoint compared to the control group, which was aflibercept 2 milligram injected patients. So we were all waiting to see these results. And I think the data was impressive. It was very interesting. Obviously, there were a lot of controversies around the design of the study, about how the data was presented and so forth. But so far, what I saw was promising. Looking forward to see the future, like the full results of the study.
So it's interesting. I actually thought a lot about this. You know, I've been very interested in tyrosine kinase inhibitors in general. It's a new mechanism of action. We're using these like dissolvable, both, you know, ocular therapeutics as well as EyePoint, as well as some other vendors are trying to look at using polymers, you know, these slow release polymers to release the drug over time to give us greater durability. I know in the most recent ASRS PAT survey, durability was like the number one unmet need among a lot of retina specialists are surveyed. And so I was very interested in, because this is a very unique design. So as you mentioned, this is the first time where there was no, first of all, the FDA had recently released guidance that suggests that you can't just always have your comparator arm, like let's say aflibercept 2 milligrams, given on label, which is usually every 8 weeks. You have to have one arm where the two products are given at the exact same interval. And in order to show superiority, they essentially started the test product against aflibercept and just gave them a single shot. That's, I think, what you were talking about in terms of the controversy. And then they just wait till they fail or they reach their need for a rescue injection. And, you know, in a way, I think it is a truly fair comparison. And I think it's the first time where I think no doubt there, like, you can't really argue that the OTX-TKI product did last longer and that it was able to outlast a single injection of aflibercept. But I think one thing that was a little disappointing was we were kind of expecting maybe a little bit bigger of a difference because it is a new MOA. It's a little pellet instead of a regular drug. And in order for the retina community to want to switch to a new product, you really want something that lasts a lot longer to be able to take that risk. So I think on the one hand, I'm very excited about the fact that they've done a true superiority trial, demonstrated true increased durability, which I think, you know, most of the current trials are really designed in such a way that it looks like there's greater durability, but it's not very clear. Whereas for this one, it's very clear that you can almost measure it exactly what the durability is. But I would wish that there's more, a bigger difference and more differentiating factor, particularly with gene therapy, as we mentioned, kind of on the horizon. So I think it'll be interesting to see what the final results show.
And one interesting point that you alluded to is that this study was designed as superiority, as opposed to the non-inferiority design that most of the previous trials were looking at. So this is exciting to look at and see the data in the future.
Yeah.
So what was one finding that will change your practice this year?
That's a good question. I think that the major findings really are coming, you know, and honestly, I don't know if I will change my practice in a specific way in that sense. I think that, as you mentioned, there were a lot of focus on anatomy, biomarkers, a lot of technology. I have to say that I'm still a little bit watching and waiting. I think that most of us are looking for more functional outcomes. And I think despite all the excitement about all these biomarkers and all these, you know, anatomic markers, I think a lot of retina specialists still want to see like patients come to us and say, thanks, I can see better now. And, you know, but I do feel like, you know, our field has undergone a lot of changes in recent years, but I don't know if I feel a strong outcome benefit from a patient standpoint. So I think that, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of exciting things, but that I still am not changing my practice in any major way.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that same for me, not from treatment standpoint, but from how I talk to patients in clinic, how I counsel them about their disease state and their trajectory, the trajectory of their disease, is that I would pay more attention to these smaller imaging findings, like, sure, size of PED, the changes over time. And I would be, and I'm excited to discuss that with my patients in clinic when I tell them about their need for anti-VEGF, how many of these injections they need, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So what's one area that you'll be monitoring for, like an area of interest that you'll be watching for over the next 2 to 3 years?
So I can mention two. So I am obviously very excited about the whole AI in ophthalmology and specifically in retina, not as an endpoint, but just as a tool on how we approach the patients, how we are going to prognosticate their disease condition. That would be one thing. And then the other one is the multi-omic field. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the combination of these two technologies is going to shift our field to more of a precision medicine, personalized care for our patients, which is exciting.
Thanks for this discussion today, Parisa. This has been great.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us for our discussion on the evolving data that we saw at the 49th Annual Macular Society meeting and how it may influence our clinical practice.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Dr. Zimami and you. Join me next time for the episode where we'll cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.